passive, if you think about it, what it actually means, you're doing something once and then getting paid on it without doing continuous work. I ran the drop shipping business. I ran the multi-level marketing. I ran the eBay business. None of that was passive. I had to keep working for the money to keep coming. With this, I have websites I set up 8 years ago that I haven't logged into since then, and they continue to pay me every month. So I just keep building more of those, and it just keeps getting bigger and bigger, the passive amount.
Welcome to Super Entrepreneurs Podcast. I'm your host, Shahid Durrani. Today we have with us Luke Van Der Veer. Luke is the founder of Website Rental Coaching, a digital agency training people in rank and rent online business model in a bid to give them greater control over their work-life balance and create wealth. Thank you and welcome to our show, Luke.
Thank you. Thank you. Happy to be here.
Glad to have you. It sounds very unique from the guest lineup I had in the past, creating these assets and then having these assets create leads for businesses, which they badly need.
Yeah. Sure do. Yeah.
Do you still utilize ads or is it just purely SEO?
No, purely SEO. I don't like paying for stuff unless it's going to give me a really long-term ROI.
Okay, that's good. So you had an agency before and then you switched to this model. Can you share any lessons that you learned in that transition that you made into creating these assets?
I think one of the biggest differences between having an agency and having digital assets is the passivity and how much involvement I have to have. I guess I think about it as life by design. With the agency, you're beholden to the clients, right? So they have something specific they want. You're working on their assets and you put in all this work and the blood, sweat, and tears to get them somewhere, right? You help them hit their goals. But then what I found is a lot of times when they get where they want to go, they're like, oh, I guess I don't need you anymore. So then they let you go because they already got, you got them the result. You did a great job. And then you lose out because of what a great job you did. So switching to owning the digital assets yourself and renting them out, it removed that whole piece because with ownership, you keep the income. So I do a good job, but it's for me this time.
So when you create an asset, for example, as a website in an area, a specific area, for example, a medical clinic or rehab clinic for accident victims, and you find a business and they say, yeah, sure, you can get me this many leads per month based on your system or your website, I'll pay you so and so. Now, you sign a contract with them for a year or so, or is it month to month? And if you're not getting along, whatever the reason, you can go to any competitors in the area and give them the same service, correct?
Yeah, I don't. Some people do contracts. I don't do contracts with anybody.
Okay.
I find that with the value that we have, being able to own the asset and just bring in leads on command and have it on autopilot like that, they need me much more than I need them. They're currently buying leads from some other source. It's probably some kind of ads, Google ads, Facebook ads, which is a lot of money. They're paying marketing companies thousands of dollars a month. If it's like a blue collar thing, they're paying Home Advisor, Thumbtack, thousands of dollars a month. And those leads are not as good as the organic ones that I can get. And they're also shared with other companies, right? They're giving that lead out and that lead's shared with five other people that all call the same customer. So it's like a race to the bottom.
Yeah.
Not great.
So if you're buying leads.
Yeah. So there's a huge advantage here. And it also makes the sale easier because I don't have to lock in anybody for some period. I can just say, hey, try it out. And if you don't want it, it's cool. I'm not worried about finding another person. So it's okay for me. And it's easier sale.
Yeah. There's no issue for you to find someone else, though, partake in this because lead gen is the heartline of a business, especially a brick and mortar business.
Yeah, I'm in the business of selling oxygen.
Yeah, literally. So SEO is hard. I don't know. I don't like to use that word hard. Nothing is hard unless you think it's hard. But to get anywhere with SEO requires a lot of time, a lot of experts involved to get to a certain level to start seeing the fruits of that labor. For example, when I had the clinic, we're doing SEO, local SEO, and yeah. It was taking forever. And I was saying, dude, like, what's going on? He said, it takes time. So I just kept feeding him, just kept putting money every month, but it wasn't going anywhere. So how do you get results this quick? Is there something that you can share?
Yeah, I think if you were talking about just with any website in general, I think one of the big things that people miss is the content. And I don't mean constantly blogging and publishing articles, the baseline structure of the website and the content on it. So if I'm looking at a local market, which of course will be easier than statewide, national, anything else.
Yeah.
I'm going really hard on the content. I'm going to look at every competitor in that space and what they talk about. And what you'll see is that most people don't write very much. They'll have a bullet list of services they offer, and they might have 400 or 500 words on the page. I'm going to go into every single one of those bullet points and fully cover the topic and talk about every subtopic within it. So if I was talking about, say, roofing, for example, I could talk about roof repair, installation, replacement. I could talk about residential and commercial. I could talk about the types of roofing, metal, aluminum, galvanized steel, tin, all the different things. Even within metal roofing, I could break that down into all the types. And when you create that kind of content, super detailed and super in-depth, it's a stronger foundation to build something on. So it's just easier from the start. And if you do that in a local market, especially something low competition, which is what I specifically choose to make it passive for me. Once I do that, I don't need as many links and all the other things to get this thing to rank and stay there.
That's such a great point, because content is what gets you that result when someone puts it in Google. When somebody types in, you're going to show up in the top if it's relevant to the algorithm. So the more relevant content that you have based on that research, the more you're going to show up. But now my next question is, if I'm your student, Luke, and I'm learning this because I love adding multiple sources of income. So if I'm learning this, how much time do I need to create content? Like, I have to basically hire someone to do that work. How does that look?
The websites we're creating are maybe 7 pages. So it's not a huge undertaking. I'd say 5 to 10 hours a week is enough outside of going through course content and like the training. But actually applying things, 5 to 10 hours a week is enough to build a pretty significant passive income building websites and running them out. And in terms of the content itself, 7 pages or so. And typically, first time you go through, you do it yourself. And then after that, you can outsource it. We're usually hiring.
But now with ChatGPT, do you train your students for them to utilize ChatGPT to create content?
Some people use it. I personally don't love it because I've noticed, I ran a test on this. So I actually, I know you've had Neil Patel on your podcast before. He ran a test on this too, and my results were similar. When I publish straight AI content on a bunch of websites I have across different niches, 7 different niches, 7 different areas, the content was just straight AI, published it. The site rankings went from number one across the board down an average of 7 spots. I didn't really feel the need to test much further after I saw that. And I was like, okay, because I'm looking at the difference between the content and I see it's just very generic, where if a human writes something, it tends to have more detail. So unless you're going to have a human editor review the content and mess with it after the AI publishes it, not a good idea.
Yeah. Hmm. And when you did that test, did you use the ChatGPT, the paid version or the free one?
I used the paid ChatGPT, and then I actually ran a similar test using Jasper because some other people were using that one. And it was the same type of result. It just drops across the board. And because that's my foundation, I'd rather just put in the time, pay it or put in the time to do it up front myself.
I wonder if Google's algorithm is starting to pick up if it's artificial intelligence and lowering the rank.
It can absolutely point it out. It 100% can.
Yeah, that could be one of the criteria they're looking at as well. In my case, if I'm your student, you would recommend in the beginning to do that research that takes about 10 hours a week to find out all the topics and write it physically, write yourself about it, research, write it, each article, publish it. And then later on, you can hire someone or hire someone from the get-go, a writer that just does that every week for a few hours.
Yeah, you have to be willing to get in there and get your hands dirty a little bit. You can't teach something unless you know how to do it yourself. So the mistake I see people do is they'll try to just outsource everything from the get-go. And you can't do that because how are you supposed to monitor that person or train that person if you don't know what the heck you're doing? So you go through and you do it yourself the first time. You make sure it's correct. Then you can go back and duplicate the process much faster.
And if your writing is not as good, or if you're not at the level of what a lot of the articles are online, would that cause an issue in this process?
No, because it's not blog posts that we're doing. It's just a homepage and about, a contact, and four or five service pages. That's it. That's the structure and the content. So we don't have to write other stuff.
Oh, so you're actually doing that one time, set up the website, and then let SEO take over.
Yeah. I'm not sitting there writing blogs and having people continuously
do stuff.
Okay, that's
what I thought. Yeah, I thought you were doing each website every week. You keep adding, updating articles.
No, see, this is why I'm saying it's passive for me, because I don't do that. Yeah. I build the foundation once. Yeah. You can send the links and to get it to the top where you want it to be, and then that's it. Awesome. I'm not publishing consistent things or any of that unless it's a super competitive market. Some markets are a little bit tougher.
Okay.
But I specifically try to choose easy ones so I don't have to do that.
Can you share some of the easy, profitable niches?
There's a ton. Concrete is a great one.
Yeah.
Concrete's a great one. I probably wouldn't go into that now because everybody tries to do that. So it's not so easy anymore. Excavation is another cool one. I like things that are blue collar are my favorite. Things where you're going to be competing against people that don't know what they're doing. You're trying to stack the odds in your favor, right? So I'm not going to pick lawyers in New York City because I already know there's marketing companies that people are paying 10 grand a month to rank for. Mm-hmm. So why would I compete against that? Instead, I'm going to go for the spot where I'm going up against a family business that has no idea about anything internet. So even if I screwed up 90% of my process, I still win.
Yeah. So because you're heavily marketing this whole program, your student count is growing, and you had made a point about that niche. Concrete is getting busy, for example. Don't you think many of the niches will start getting busy if your students are out there as you're growing your company? And will it get harder for the students, the newer students, to compete with the older ones that already have the content?
Not really. I have two thoughts in this. And first, I have a mindset of abundance. So there's always plenty of space. And in terms of niches, there's thousands. If you go to a website like Thumbtack or Home Advisor and just look through some of the services you can hire people for, thousands and thousands of things on that page. And there's always hidden gems in there. So if you think about all those thousands of opportunities and multiply that by any city, country in the world, that's a lot of places you can go. And I've got people in 9 countries now. So it works everywhere as long as there's Google.
Nice. So you work with entrepreneurs or 9-to-5ers that are looking to add passive income and over, I think, 9 countries. Were there any kind of common challenges that you experience working with them that you can share?
Yeah, I think it's different for the two groups, right? So we got the 9-to-5ers and the business owners.
Yes. So each.
The 9-to-5ers that come in, their toughest thing is usually mindset and belief. The belief that I can do this. They've usually tried something else. Maybe they did MLM. The cool thing is I've done a lot of these, so I understand exactly how they feel. They've done MLM. They may have done affiliate marketing. They've sold on eBay or Amazon, Etsy, all these things, trying to make money. And it either wasn't passive, couldn't make enough to replace their job. Their friends and family are telling them that it's not going to work. So they got a lot of self-belief problems. So they need quick wins, and they need to be around a community of other people that are crushing it to level up. Then the business owners, that one's more about choosing priorities, right? When people say something like, I don't have time. That's a lie. We all have time. We make time for things that are important. What you're saying mm-hmm. is it's not a priority. So I'm going to prioritize something else. And that's mm-hmm. a choice. It's up to you. If you can mm-hmm. give up some time, you'll get a great passive income down the road. If that's not a priority for you, that's okay. But those are the two mm-hmm. things. So different conversations mm-hmm. with different groups.
So 9-to-5ers are more towards a self-image that they have, trying different passive incomes and not seeing the success, and they think everything's right. the same. But the level of support from the research I've done, the level of support that you're providing is very intimate. Can you speak on that?
Yeah, the program is my exact process. I know some people sell things like theory. I just have yeah. exactly what I did mapped out. So it's the thing I do now. And I just update it as I go, as my process improves over time, because it's been 8 years now of doing this. And the community, I think, is huge, just because it's a good spot. And we're currently using Facebook for a community, a private group. And anytime people are stuck on something, Facebook's 24/7. So as soon as I see something, I'm in there responding. It's a really good thing for networking, because some people, like one person will be great at tech, one person's great at sales, so they'll partner up on stuff. And I'm not even involved. They're just like doing that, like partnering with each other and stuff. So that's super cool. I love that.
That's lovely, yeah.
And
yeah.
then we do a weekly call on Tuesdays, and that's with me. Like, I don't have support people doing that with me. It's just
your
me.
Hands-on.
So I'm on, we're on the call. Everybody's got video on so we can see their faces and talk and whatever. And we're just going through people's stuff they're working on one by one and fixing it all.
There's a lot of passive income opportunities out there for people, for entrepreneurs, for 9-to-5ers. You shared some information, but what would you say is that one differentiator that is like a no-brainer for someone to choose you when looking to invest their time to add an additional source of income?
I'll answer this two ways. First one, in terms of just me, if you vibe with what I'm saying and my feel, then that's who you should go with, because you're going to be stuck with me for a little while succeeding together. In terms of the business model, the thing that differentiates it is passive income has become a buzzword. And people say this because that's what everybody wants to hear. But passive, if you think about it, what it actually means, you're doing something once and then getting paid on it without doing continuous work. I ran the drop shipping business. I ran the multi-level marketing. I ran the eBay business. None of that was passive. I had to keep working for the money to keep coming. With this, I have websites I set up 8 years ago that I haven't logged into since then, and they continue to pay me every month. So I just keep building more of those, and it just keeps getting bigger and bigger, the passive amount.
Mm.
So that's passive.
That's amazing. Yeah, that's true passive.
I guess you could pay 98%, because I still have to look at a report on Mondays to make sure call volume stayed the same. But aside from the 5 minutes of looking at my email, that's about as passive as it can get.
So in my experience, SEO can be competitive as well, because you need to update things on a regular basis. You mentioned 8 years ago, you created these assets or created this storefront website, and it's still paying you, and the people that are renting it are still getting leads from it. Are you telling me that there's no other competition that came about in that niche and started a business and started a blog or online and started marketing or doing SEO that lowered your ranking because you're not hands-on?
Yeah, most of the niches I picked pretty well. So a lot of them have just stayed pretty much where it is. And new people will come in. But it's not usually lead gen people like me. It's usually other business owners who also don't have a clue what to do with their website. So the majority just stay. And in the markets where I didn't pick as well, because you're not going to be 100%. Some of the markets, things might go down a little bit, or there'll be more competition. So maybe I want to send some more links. But that's where we have outsourced people to do the work. But typically, I'm not really looking at stuff unless I see changes in the call volume. So if the call volume looks consistent, then I'm cool.
So you're tracking that. So you provide your students a dashboard that they can use for their clients?
Oh, none of the stuff is me. We just use all tools out there on the market. I'm not involved with
third party.
So all third party tools. I just show everybody the ones I like. There's free ones, there's paid ones. I show everybody my preference and why, and then they're free to choose whatever they want. But I show them how to use all of them to do this.
So Luke, what do you think the monthly expense would be for someone to start this program with you from the moment they sign up, start studying and implementing this work? Is there ongoing expense that people need to be aware of?
In terms of the tools that people need, the main things are rank tracking software, some tools like SEMrush and Majestic for backlinks and keyword research and so forth, and call tracking. So somewhere 100, 130 bucks a month. Not even.
Okay.
100 to 130-ish a month is probably the ongoing expense. And then you have some one-time annual things like domain hosting. Domain's 10 bucks. Hosting, you can get like 35, 40 bucks for the year.
Mm-hmm.
Different people have different plans. Okay. And then everything else is just outsourcing. People want to outsource, obviously that costs money.
Yeah. If you pick a niche following your program, you set up the site, you watch your ranking, and you wait for that to rank high enough to start seeing calls come in, because I bet you put some kind of number there or some kind of tracking that people are clicking to show the business that this is the kind of volume we're getting. That whole process before you can land a client to pay you monthly retainer, how long would that take approximately? I know per niche it might be different.
Yeah, I track this with the coaching clients. Mm-hmm. So the average is 89 days. So I ask people to share with me when they start, when the sites start ranking and when they start getting calls so that I can track this. And the average is 89 days. Some people, the better you choose, the quicker it goes. If people choose really well, they might be able to get page one in a couple weeks. If they don't choose as well, they pick something a little bit more competitive, then it's going to take a little bit longer. But that's how it's averaged out.
Do you share what you're picking live? Meaning what you're doing nowadays, do you share with your students?
I share some of the sites for what people can do as examples, but some of the ones I'm in are things that I've taken nationally. So I don't want to give away something that's a gold mine as a niche that's keeping my income passive for me. But I do teach people my exact process to find them. And one of the things we do on a lot of calls is just walk through. We walk through and people will bring on ones they're looking at. We'll talk it through and see if that one's a good one to do. And some of the members have found some really cool ones that I'm jealous I never thought of before, because I'd have hundreds of them by now. But people bring them on the calls and whatever, and we walk through an exact process to do it.
Love it. One of your pillars for your approach is to empower business owners to influence their visibility online or on Google. Can you share some action tips or strategies that a business can do to improve their visibility and generate leads as a tip?
Yeah. So a couple things with the website. Take a look at the content. People underestimate how powerful this is, but I'm not blogs. Look at the homepage of your website. That's where everybody's landing. And just build out the content instead of just having the little bulleted list of, we do roof repair, roof insulation, and the other thing in a little tiny paragraph. Google's looking at your site and comparing you to everybody else in the niche. So the other guy that wrote 1,000 words is beating your 100 words easily. So boost it up. That's number one. The other one on the Google My Business side, if you have a Google My Business profile, fully complete that thing. Load the images. Get reviews constantly. Just with photos and images, you can boost the calls by at least 300%. I had some business owners I was tracking this with. And one of the cool things we did was we took a business card. On the back, we put a QR code, and we had the QR code redirect to the Google My Business profile so they could leave a review. And after every job, I told them, I want you to, if you know you did a good job, I want you to hand the card to the customer and tell them that you're running a contest, the $200 monthly raffle, if they leave a review, and just help them do it right there. And by just getting those consistent reviews coming in, call volume was 2-3x more than previous months. So I implemented that with everybody. So that's an easy one. And the same thing with photos. If you take a photo of whatever you're doing, whatever the job is, so say blue collar, somebody, you repair a roof, you take a photo of the roof, maybe before and after, or even just the after, every time you take that picture and you upload it, you're dropping like a digital pin in Google. And you'll notice if you do this for a while, you start getting more calls from the areas that you did that. So if you can imagine, they're serving this market, and so all of a sudden we get a call from over here, and now over here, and down here, and over there. And then all of a sudden you're blanketing this entire area because you've been doing this for a while. And the call volume just keeps going up. So
very simple things you can do
to make a huge impact.
Yeah, I agree with that. We were doing that in our medical facility, the review bit, and it dramatically shifted the number of calls by just adding more reviews on Google.
Yeah.
So definitely it's a big one. Your assets that you have, are you trading them, selling them?
No, God, no. Those are just pure moneymakers. Never going to sell any of those. I made the mistake of doing that once, and I'll never make that mistake again. I had one that was doing $1,000 a month. I sold it for 20 grand, which was like a year and a half if we had stretched it out. And that site is still ranked number one. So that was a huge mistake, because at this point it would be, let's see, that was what, 7 years ago, whatever 7 years ago times $1,000 a month is. That's a lot of money I lost by selling that back then. So that was stupid.
All right.
So no, I just keep them now. Run it out, passive.
All right. Awesome. All right, brother. It was nice talking to you, man. I took more time from you today. Usually we do our 20-minute bits, but it was great talking to you and understanding what you're doing and the offer that you have for people. Appreciate your time today and wish you all the best.
Thank you very much. I just want people to get passive and get what they want so they can enjoy their time. And I think this is a great way to do it.
Love it. So you're sending good energy out. You're going to get it from all directions. So good work.
That's the goal.
Yeah. Thanks, Luke.
Thanks.